Lifelines by Peter Viney. A Garnet Oracle Reader, Level 3. Copyright Garnet Publishing Limited, 2015. 1. A Look into the Future. Click. That was it. One click of her mouse, and the advert was uploaded to 6 newspapers and 3 magazines. Rachel looked at the clock on her computer. 4:30. She wanted to check the website just once more. The adverts were going to appear tomorrow morning. She typed palm reading into the search engine. Good. The first result was Astra Lifelines. She typed palmistry. Again, the first result was Astra Lifelines. She typed, the future from your hand. Again, the first result was Astra Lifelines. It was all Mark's work. Mark was the programmer for the new website. Everything had to be ready before tomorrow morning. The website was ready, the phone apps were ready, and people could send in letters by normal post too. Was it going to be popular? She didn't know. It was her idea, and it was a completely new idea. She got up, took her coat, and walked through the busy office. 14 people worked there. Rachel nodded to everyone as she walked through the room. Pieces of paper were coming out of the printers, and people were checking them carefully, then putting them into envelopes. They couldn't make any mistakes. Rachel's company, Astra Astrology, used computers to do horoscopes for people. You sent the date, exact time, and exact place of your birth to Astra Astrology, and the computers did a horoscope for you. Rachel's boss, Mervyn Astra, started the company 10 years before. Mervyn Astra wasn't his real name, of course, but it sounded good. It looked good in newspaper and magazine advertisements. Mervyn's real name was Brian Smith, but only a few people knew that. Rachel was one of them. Rachel was the advertising manager. Well, she did all the advertising herself, and she didn't have any assistants. But Mervyn called her the manager. She didn't like Mervyn very much. He was a tall, thin man with white hair. Mervyn drove a dark blue Rolls Royce everywhere. There were gold stars all over it. It's good for advertising, Mervyn always said. When Rachel had her new idea, Mervyn said, okay, you can try it. It cost a lot of money for programming and making the website and phone apps, and the adverts were expensive too. Rachel was worried. On Saturday morning, Rachel got up early. She hurried to the shop and bought a copy of each newspaper. She hurried home and opened the papers on the kitchen table. She was looking for her advertisement. There it was, in the Daily News, on page 7. Do you want to know about the future? Palmistry is a very old science. You can tell the future from people's hands. You can learn about your life and the important things that have happened. You can learn about what will happen in the future. You can learn about romance, love, life, money, and work. We use the latest computer programs at Astra Astrology to forecast your future. Our computer has a program with information from all the best palm readers in the world. Are you interested? Just send a picture of the hand that you write with. It can be the right hand or the left hand, but it must be the hand you write with. You can email a photo to our website. If you prefer, you can just scan your hand in a scanner or photocopier. You can send a scan or photo by post. It costs only £9.99. You can pay by PayPal or credit card. Visit our website, www.astralifelines.gb.com, or you can take a photo with your phone camera and send it using our phone app, Astra Palm. This costs only £4.99. Rachel Grant, our palmistry consultant, will send you the results. The headline will tell you about your thoughts and ideas. The lifeline will tell you about your life and the important things that will happen to you. The heartline will tell you about love and romance. The fortune line will tell you about luck, jobs, and money. Rachel smiled. She really didn't believe in palmistry. She thought it was nonsense. But she thought astrology was nonsense too. Palmistry wasn't a serious thing, but people enjoyed it. Maybe they half believed it, but they knew it was only fun. The advertisement wasn't a lie, not really. The computer program really did have all the information about palmistry. They took the information from many books. It could read the photographs and scans, and it could compare them with thousands of pictures in the program. It was a very expensive program, and Mervyn employed several programmers. Rachel wanted the idea to be successful. Mervyn could get angry very quickly, and he hated losing money. She read the advertisement again and laughed. Rachel Grant, palmistry consultant. That was funny. It was Mervyn's idea, of course. 2. It's all nonsense. Rachel didn't need to worry. The idea was successful. It was more successful than the computer horoscopes. Lots of companies did horoscopes online, but no other company did palm readings. The website was getting thousands of hits every day. A week later, they had thousands of pictures and scans. They put the advertisement in more newspapers and magazines. Mervyn had to buy more computers and printers. And a month later, there were 30 people working at the company. Many people wanted documents by post, and Mervyn printed them in gold ink on black paper. Mervyn bought another Rolls-Royce. It was black, and he put pictures of silver hands all over it. Mervyn was a very happy man. Mervyn paid Rachel a lot more money, but she wasn't happy. She was embarrassed by her job, palmistry consultant. 3 months ago, it was a joke. Now it was serious, and it was embarrassing. When people asked her, "What do you do?" she usually said, "Oh, I work with computer programs." One day, Rachel was at a party. She was speaking to a woman. They were happily talking when the woman asked her name. Rachel told her. Suddenly, the woman said, "Are you the Rachel Grant? You know, the palmistry consultant?" Yes, I am," said Rachel. "Why, have you heard of me?" "Oh, yes," said the woman. "I certainly have. I've seen the advertisements in all the newspapers. I used to be interested in palmistry. I used to read people's hands at parties. Not seriously, of course. It was just fun, a joke." "Used to?" asked Rachel. "Aren't you interested in it any more?" The woman laughed and said, "Oh, no, I'm not. Not any more. I read a lot of books about it when I was younger. When I was your age, in fact. It's all nonsense, nonsense." Rachel smiled. "Why do you think that?" she asked. "Well," said the woman, "think about it. What does the lifeline tell you?" "It tells you about the important things that happen in your life," said Rachel. "That was a fast answer. What other things does it tell you?" "In some books, it tells you how long people will live." "Exactly," said the woman. "It's nonsense, rubbish." Modern books don't say that, explained Rachel. I know, because it's a stupid idea. They know it's stupid. But the older books all say it. Right, so in 1914 and in 1939, before the two world wars, were there a lot of people with short lifelines? I don't know, said Rachel. I've never thought about it. Well, said the woman, think about it now. Did palm readers see a lot of people with short lifelines? Millions of people died in the wars. Perhaps, I don't know. But no palm reader wrote about it. Not one of them. I've read all the important books. No one wrote about it. That's interesting, said Rachel. But maybe they didn't want to tell people about it. And it was a long time ago. What about the Vietnam War in the 1960s? What about Cambodia in the 1970s? What about Ethiopia in the 1980s? What about the tsunami in the Indian Ocean in 2004? What about Haiti in 2010? That wasn't a long time ago. Okay, but fortune tellers don't tell people bad news, said Rachel quietly. People don't want to know. The woman laughed again. Look, my dear, we don't know how to forecast the weather correctly. How can we forecast the future? It's different, Rachel said. Have you read much about palmistry, Miss Grant? Said the woman sharply. Well, yes, of course. We had to read everything before we wrote the computer program. And there was someone, 100 years ago, a famous palm reader from Ireland. He said there was going to be a world war before it started in 1914. Everyone knew that, said the woman, just like they did before the Second World War. Okay, but it is information about forecasting a war. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, I forgot. You are a palmistry consultant, aren't you? The woman smiled. Come on, Miss Grant, she said. It's all nonsense, and you know it's nonsense too. I can see that. 3. Afraid of the future? The next day, Rachel was sitting in her office. She was thinking about the woman at the party. She looked through some books on palmistry. She had a lot of books. Then she spent an hour on the internet. She couldn't find any information about lifelines before the two world wars. Maybe the woman was right. She phoned Mark, the programmer. Hey, Mark, she said. Are you very busy? I'm always busy, Rachel, he said. Yeah, yeah. Have you got a few minutes? Can you come to my office? Mark arrived 2 minutes later. He came in and sat down. Rachel told him about the woman at the party. Mark, she said, can we do a statistical analysis of all the palmistry photos? Mark looked surprised. Well, yes, anything's possible. All the information is in the computer. But what are you looking for? I'm not sure, said Rachel. I've got an idea. Maybe it's a silly idea, but I want to compare all the photographs. Maybe we can find something in all of them. Something about the future. You mean a lot of short lifelines? I hope not, said Rachel. But it's interesting, isn't it? I want to compare different towns and cities. Compare them with each other and compare the towns with the country areas. I want statistics for different areas of the country. We've got all the information. Why don't we use it? You can do it, can't you? Yes, but it's not a quick job. We didn't write the program with that idea. The information is all there, but it'll take me a day or two, said Mark. I'll have to do it in my own time. And he looked straight at her and said, Rachel, have you told Mervyn about this? Not yet, said Rachel. And I probably won't tell him. Not until we have the information. You're right, said Mark. Mervyn won't like it. He won't like it at all. He's frightened of the future. Did you know that? He's never done his own horoscope on the computer. I wanted to do it when we were writing the program. We needed to try the program, but he didn't want his horoscope, and he didn't want a photograph of his hand either. He was afraid. He laughed. She didn't laugh. I haven't done mine either, she said. 4. Some interesting results. 2 days later, Mark knocked on Rachel's office door and walked in. He put his laptop on her desk. Why have you brought your laptop? She asked. Can't I find the information from the office network? Mark shook his head. No, I haven't put it on the main computer network. I don't want Mervyn to know yet. It's just on my laptop here. Well, she said, have you found anything? Nothing really, he said. In most areas we have photographs of hands with long lifelines, middle-sized lifelines, and short lifelines. I didn't learn much. You see, we haven't got enough photos. We need 1,000 or more from each town before we can do a real statistical analysis. But we've got tens of thousands of photos, said Rachel. Yes, we have, but that's from everywhere in the country, said Mark. Wait a minute, said Rachel. You said in most areas there are long lifelines, middle-sized lifelines, and short lifelines. You didn't say in all areas. There is one area, said Mark, but it's silly. Go on, said Rachel. It's only one town, Chatford, he said. Chatford, said Rachel. I don't know it. It's a middle-sized town in the southwest. About 130,000 people live there. I know the town well. I used to live there, too. You used to live there, said Rachel. When was that? 10 years ago, just before I met Mervyn. I used to be a computer programmer at the power station. There's a big nuclear power station just outside Chatford. I used to work there. I've never heard of it, said Rachel. It's quite old. It's one of the oldest nuclear ones. So what about Chatford? Said Rachel. First, we've got nearly 5,000 photos from Chatford. 5,000? Is that a lot from one town? Oh, yes. And it's enough to do a statistical analysis. He turned the laptop screen towards Rachel. Look at the list. These are all towns about the same size as Chatford. OK, there are 122 from Norwich, 189 from Oxford, 195 from Bournemouth, 346 from Brighton, 93 from Cambridge. Why did we get so many from Chatford? Asked Rachel. Yes, I wanted to know that too. Mervyn's brother owns the newspaper there, the Chatford Evening Star. He gave Mervyn a lot of free advertisements and wrote a lot of stories about computer palmistry for the newspaper. Mervyn comes from Chatford. It's his hometown. I first met him there at a party. He was visiting his brother. OK, so what's strange about the photographs? Said Rachel. It sounds silly, said Mark. Really silly. But more than 75% have got short lifelines. Did that happen in any other town? No, not really. Nearly all the photographs from Bournemouth have long lifelines. So I checked the addresses carefully. Most of them came from a big hospital for old people. The hospital radio program spoke to Mervyn on the telephone, and lots of people sent in photos. They were all from people more than 80 years old. That's interesting. You mean all these old people had long lifelines? Maybe it's not nonsense. Maybe, said Mark. Anyway, continued Rachel, how short were the lifelines in Chatford? I looked at each age group. Under 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50. Then I found the average for each age group in the country. Then I compared Chatford with the results for everywhere. The Chatford lifelines were shorter than average in all of them. I mean, they weren't very, very short. Were they shorter or longer than mine? Asked Rachel. She showed Mark the palm of her right hand. I'm not a palm reader, said Mark, quickly. "You've seen the pictures. Were they shorter or longer than mine?" said Rachel. Mark looked at her hand carefully. "They were about the same as yours," he said. Rachel felt cold suddenly. "Don't worry," said Mark. "It's only statistics." "What do you mean?" said Rachel. "Statistics. If you put one foot in ice and the other foot in very hot water, then, statistically, you're comfortable."
"What?"
"Well, the average temperature between freezing at 0 degrees Celsius and much too hot for a bath at 60 degrees Celsius is 30 degrees Celsius, and that's comfortable."
"That's stupid."
"No, it's just that averages don't tell you everything." Rachel looked at him. "Have you spoken to Mervyn about this?"
"Not yet. You asked me not to tell him."
"Good. I'll speak to him," said Rachel. "Can I borrow your laptop, Mark?"
5. None of it's true. Mervyn wasn't very happy that day. On his way to work, he had a small accident in his black Rolls-Royce. He drove into the back of another car. The police arrived, and one of the police officers laughed at him.
"You didn't forecast that was going to happen, did you, Mr. Astra?" she laughed. That evening, he was going to be on a television program about fortune tellers. He was worried about it. He was thinking about the program when Rachel knocked on his office door.
"Who's that? I'm busy. Go away," he shouted.
"It's me, Rachel."
"I said go away."
"I must speak to you."
"Come back later.
It's important, Mervyn." Rachel opened the door and went in.
"Okay, what do you want?" said Mervyn.
"Well, Mervyn, I've had an idea."
"I'm not interested in your ideas," said Mervyn.
"You were interested in my idea for computer palmistry," she said. "And you've earned a lot of money from it."
"All right. Sit down and tell me, but hurry, I'm busy."
Rachel told him about the woman at the party, and he laughed.
"So, does it matter?" he said.
"Well, yes," she said. "I wanted the computer to compare the photos and scans from different towns."
"We don't pay you to play with the computer," said Mervyn angrily. "Anyway, you aren't a programmer. You couldn't do this. Somebody helped you. Who was it?"
"It was Mark," said Rachel. "But he did the work in his own time."
"He used my program, and he probably used my electricity," said Mervyn.
"Can I show you what we found?" said Rachel. She showed the laptop to Mervyn. He got angrier and angrier.
"Rachel," he said, "this is all nonsense. Nobody can tell you about the future. You don't believe this rubbish, do you?"
"Don't you believe it?" she said quietly.
"Of course not. It's not true, none of it."
"Then you're cheating your customers."
"Yes, I know," said Mervyn. "There's a fool born every minute. You've heard that before, haven't you? That's why I'm a rich man, because most people are fools. They're stupid. Anyway, we took all the information about astrology and palmistry from the best books. The program doesn't cheat. It really gives the best information. But the information is all nonsense."
Rachel stood up. "That's it, Mervyn. You're a cheat." Mervyn smiled.
"Thank you," he said. "And you're a fool."
"Well, I'm not working for you anymore," she said. "You can find another palmistry consultant. Ask at the prison. They'll find somebody for you." She left Mervyn's office and hurried back to her desk. She put on her coat and walked out. The air outside felt clean and good. She smiled. She wasn't a palmistry consultant anymore. "Now," she thought, "I'm going to find a real job."
6. Chatford.
Rachel left Astra Astrology on the 19th of March.
She soon found another job, as a reporter for the Daily Echo, a newspaper in London. She used to be a reporter before she worked for Mervyn. She never forgot about Mark's work, and she never forgot about Chatford. One day, she was talking to her boss at the newspaper, and she told him about the lifelines. He was interested. "Do you believe it, Rachel?" he said. "I don't know," she replied, "but it is interesting." "I think so too. It's a good story. Look, why don't you go to Chatford? Perhaps you can write a story for the newspaper."
"Mervyn won't like it," she said.
"Are you worried about Mervyn Astra? No, you go and write the story. Look round Chatford. Talk to people. Read their hands."
"I told you, I can't read hands," she said.
"You know enough about palmistry. You know a lot more than most people. There's a great story here. Write it."
Rachel thought for a moment.
"Okay, I will. I'll go there next week."
Rachel arrived in Chatford by train on Wednesday, the 20th of September. She took a taxi to the Central Hotel in the town centre. She walked into the hotel and stopped. A tall, thin man with white hair was standing there. He was shouting at the man behind the desk.
"Do you know who I am?" he shouted. "My brother owns the Chatford Evening Star. I want a room at the front of the hotel, and I want it now."
"I'm sorry, sir. Did you make a reservation online or by telephone?"
"No."
"You can always make reservations on our website, sir. Do you have a computer?"
"What's your name? Come on, what is it?"
"You're going to lose your job. My brother's a very important man in this town."
His face was very red. Rachel walked past him to the desk. "Hello, Mervyn," she said. "How are you?" Mervyn looked round.
"What are you doing here?" he said. "You won't get a room. The hotel's full."
Rachel smiled at the man behind the desk. "Good evening. My name's Rachel Grant," she said, "from the Daily Echo. I made my reservation online 2 days ago."
"Ah, yes," said the man. "Miss Grant, welcome to the Central Hotel. I have your reservation here. We have a lovely room for you at the front of the hotel. Room 437 on the fourth floor. Here's your key card. The lift's over there. Someone will take your bags to your room."
"Thank you," said Rachel.
Mervyn looked very angry.
"Well, I'm not staying here. I'm going to another hotel, a better one."
"That's nice," said Rachel. "Good night."
Mervyn walked out of the hotel. The man behind the desk was smiling.
7. Terrible news. On the morning of the 21st of September, Mark woke up early. He couldn't sleep. He'd had dreams all night about Rachel and the lifelines. He went downstairs to the kitchen. His tablet was on the table. He turned it on. His home page was the Daily Echo online news. He always read the Daily Echo news because sometimes Rachel's name was below the story. The screen opened. "The Daily Echo, London, 21st of September. The worst day ever. Nuclear explosion in Chatford. Thousands dead. At 10:35 yesterday evening, there was a nuclear explosion at the Chatford nuclear power station. Thousands of people are dead. The army has closed all roads round Chatford, and there is no news from the town. Nobody knows why the power station exploded or how many people have died. Our reporter Rachel Grant was in the town when the power station exploded. The army has asked people to stay in their homes in an area 50 miles around Chatford. The Prime Minister will speak on television and radio at 9 o'clock this morning." Mark stood up. He was crying. He took his phone from his pocket. He had to phone the Daily Echo. The phone number was on the screen. 0101 031
4455. Then he stopped and thought. He went on his laptop and found the file with the results of the lifelines analysis. There it was on the screen. It was only on this computer and no other, he knew that. He went to the menu and clicked on Delete. A box appeared. Are you sure you want to delete this file? You cannot undo this. Cancel. Delete. Mark clicked on Delete again. There was a whoosh noise from the computer as it deleted the file. Nobody was going to read the results. He was sure about that. And Mark was never going to tell anybody about the lifelines.